Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I know, ever since we started the show at 8 o'clock the last month or so, I had to talk to producer Mike, and I said, we have to find a way to play Rebecca Black. He said, if we do it at 11 o'clock, it's still midnight on the East Coast, so I guess we can stretch it. That's one of the nice things about doing this show. We have a little bit more fun at night. It's a little bit colder, so we need to laugh in order to warm up. That helps. Sometimes you find yourself crying. Man, I still have tears. Some great stories. How about, oh, man, you get to see your boys grow up. You get a second chance at that and hear the story of the mother that had the box of blessings. Wow. If you have a Thanksgiving story, you can do it this last hour, too. Or you can call in about anything else. I mean, we keep the phone lines pretty flexible on the last day of the week. The number here is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And let me go to Paula, who's calling in. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
I got lots of Thanksgiving stories, but you probably don't want to hear all of them.
So. I would like to hear the good ones. Do you have some good Thanksgiving stories?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the first one, our second son was a baby, and we lived in Coachella, California. And he usually slept in the crib, but this night, we had two couches butted up against each other, and so he was in the part where there was no place he could fall, and my legs were blocking the rest.
Okay.
So that was unusual that he was asleep on the couch and I was asleep there with him. And so during the night, I woke up,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what kind of sound it was that woke me up, but the first thing that went through my mind when I woke up was I remembered when my sister said, I'm not sleeping under that big picture on the wall, not in earthquake country.
Mm.
So I took down the really big picture that was near where my son's head was.
Uh-huh.
And within 5 minutes, the first of the twin quakes in June of 1992 hit.
Whoa. So you kind of had this motherly instinct to take
no,
this
No, it was either
down.
The Holy Spirit or my guardian angel. Something God was doing it in some way. He got the message to me.
Wow. How about that, Paula?
Yep.
That's wonderful. So no one was hurt because of that. It was still a shock when you get that shock wave coming through.
Right.
Wow. So that's a story to be thankful for. Do you have any other ones?
Oh, sure.
Like what?
Okay, so this is a Halloween Thanksgiving story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We were living in some other part of California, and we went to Mass Halloween night because we're Catholics and we celebrate the Feast of All Saints the night before or the day of. And after Mass, there was this lady with this little boy at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't dressed very warmly, and a friend of mine came over and said, I talked to that lady with the little boy. He had on the lady's shoes, and I gave him money to go to McDonald's. And so I thought, well, I probably got kids' shoes at home that fit them. So we went home, and I looked for shoes, found some. I was going to take them over to McDonald's. And my neighbor needed me to translate something, so I did. And then by the time I got to McDonald's, they weren't there.
Hmm.
And somebody, it was really weird because somebody who works at McDonald's says, I think that lady must have kidnapped that kid.
Huh?
That's what they told. Isn't that weird?
That's a little weird to hear that. So,
yeah.
So what happened?
So I thought, well, where in the heck could they be? So I drove up north, and then I started crisscrossing east-west the streets, and I came out on one of the main drag, east-west drag.
Uh-huh.
And there was this guy in a wheelchair on a sidewalk, and I went over to him, and I said, have you seen a lady with a little boy who's wearing the lady's shoes? And he said, sounds like they're the people in here using our bathroom. That was an AA meeting.
Okay.
So I got this feeling like the cops better check this out. It's really weird that that person thought the kid was kidnapped.
Yeah.
So I went down to the convenience store a few blocks away, and I told them, there's a lady and a kid at the AA meeting on the corner of blah, 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 and I think you need to check it out to make sure that kid's not kidnapped. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, this was the first time I ever fasted on Halloween for the safety of children, because I had heard that the Satanists do human sacrifices in L.A. Halloween.
So you did a fasting? Okay.
I had fasted that day.
For the kids. Okay, so then what happens? The police show up?
So the cops said that they would be going. So I drove back by the place, didn't see a cop car, went back to the convenience store, started calling again, and a cop showed up at the convenience store telling, because I guess they figured that's where the number, that I called from.
Uh-huh.
He said, there's a car over there now, and they're checking it out. So I went over to my friend's house, who had given him money to eat at McDonald's, and the cops called us there and said, the little boy was kidnapped.
Whoa, really?
She was going to take the boy to Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did that McDonald's worker identify and know?
I don't know, but why didn't they call the cops?
I don't know. So, what year was this?
Oh, I don't remember the year, and I wouldn't want to tell you because I wouldn't want any of the people out there
to look any of it up. Okay. Paula, what a story. So now, do you ever wonder what happened to the kid?
Well, I know the cops told me that they were getting him back to his parents. Apparently, that girl had been the babysitter.
Do you ever wonder what he's doing today?
Oh, no, I'm just grateful to God, thankful to God.
That you reunited a family back together. Wow.
Yeah, he allowed me to participate in that. Yep.
Paula, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that.
Okay.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Whoa. Whoa. Wowie. Wow, wow. Now that is something to be thankful for. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
Overnight America. We're live until midnight tonight in St. Louis, Missouri. And then from midnight until 2 is the replay hours, the first 2 hours of the program, which you can catch after midnight, which is cool. We play our closing song, which a lot of people compliment. They like that Sleeping with the Radio On. I get that song stuck in my head daily. There's an update at KMOX.com. The Missouri unicorn puppy getting global attention. There's a website and a Twitter account called We Rate Dogs. So basically they take pictures of dogs that are doing, cute or unique or funny things, and then they rate the dogs. And here's how they rate the Missouri dog with the tail on its forehead. It says, this is Narwhal. He was born with an extra tail on his forehead. It hasn't wagged yet, but he's working on it. And if on a scale of 1 to 10, they rank him a 14 out of 10. It says, always read the instructions before assembling your puppy. We had a caller yesterday call in and gave me a website to one of the rescue groups in town. And I keep sending links to my wife. I don't know if he's listening right now. And he called in. And it's funny. He may be listening right now. It was about this time of the night. And I can't remember what the website is offhand. I have to look at the message chain between me and my wife. Hold on. Oh, yeah, Stray Rescue Adoption. And it's funny. Oh, Stray Rescue Adoptable. And my wife said, oh, I remember them. They were out at the Chesterfield Mall. My wife went out there for one of the arts and crafts fairs where they bring in all these different people that do arts and crafts things. And she knew someone that when we were living in Indiana, she was friends with someone that does arts and crafts things. And they traveled all the way out here for it. So she's like, oh, I'm going to go surprise and visit her. And it just so happens that group was out there. So she recognized them. And she remembered how nice they were. And so I go to the website and I keep looking for dogs. And she's like, ah, you're breaking my heart here. Breaking my heart here. But I keep seeing the picture of the dog with the tail on its forehead. Nearly 10-week-old puppy, Narwhal, has a tail-like appendage growing from its forehead. It's not attached to anything. It can't wag, but definitely got some notoriety for it. The mission founder says that they don't notice the extra tail and is otherwise really happy and healthy. And though it looks like a tail, it's not really because it can't wag or anything like that. But they say the rescue group has been flooded with requests from people wanting to adopt Narwhal since the picture hit social media. They're going to hold on to him, make sure he develops okay, see if they have to do any other medical things before he's ready for adoption. But the nice thing is it also helps when you see stories like this. People tend to want to give money and donate and say, oh, this is so great that you're helping animals like this. Please, here's some money. We want you to continue with your mission. So I'm sure that's very beneficial to them. Here's a story. This is kind of good. After doing all those thankful stories, I feel like I can't do anything hard, newsy, or anything serious. So I'm going to try to keep away from that, at least for one segment, as a buffer. WGN did a story about a Chicago restaurant or a Chicago bar that installed something very unique. Now, if this was in St. Louis, I don't know if I'd actually want to go and see this because I love the idea, honestly. Let me back up and tell you that during the last week of October, that one week I was off of work, we had family come into town. My parents came into town. They came in to visit. And they brought some of the junk that they've had in storage in their basement that was my old stuff from the 90s and whatever, 80s, 90s toys that I had. Bunch of storage totes of stuff. And they're like, we're done storing your stuff. You moved out. Get all your junk out of here. So they what they've been doing is they've been collecting this stuff. And either I've been taking them in waves when we go visit, or also they've been bringing it up to us when they come visit. And one of the things they brought that I had from the 90s was that Big Mouth Billy Bass thing. It was the it looked like a fish on a plaque, and you'd press a button and the fish would sing two songs. I want to know, can you help me, take me to the river? And the back of the little fish tail would flap and its little head would pop out and its mouth would make it look like it's singing. And then did the other one. Don't worry, be happy. The little 30-second clips. They gave that to my 5-year-old son. You know what happened for the next week? Nonstop, on a loop, those two songs over and over and over and over again. He loved it. So, where does that take us to Chicago?
This is the Royal Palm Shuffleboard Club. 17,000 square feet of deck shuffleboard and tropical drinks. They're also known for the small things hidden around the space. And now, when you walk up one of the staircases, you'll encounter another one.
So I want you to imagine in your mind a pretty wide staircase that would connect the different floors of the building. So it's not like a residential where it's just a small little staircase. This is a pretty large staircase. And on this one wall, they have, I think it's 70 Big Mouth Billy Bass hooked up to the wall, and they rigged them together so they can all sing and dance like they are coordinated. So there's 70 of them on this wall.
You may find yourself.
Just imagine the fish mouth.
We have just installed about 75 Big Mouth Billy Bass fish that will all sing in synchronized harmony, random songs that I have picked out choreographed.
With a beautiful wife.
Why?
It's a great question.
It's a great song, too, to coordinate. So there'll be like one fish will be the main singer, and then they'll have the chorus come in, and all the other fish will start doing it. And they don't all do it at once. They like kind of work. It's almost like when you go see the show down at Union Station and they can coordinate the fire blast to the music. It's kind of like that, but with Big Mouth Billy Bass. Now, that is art to me. That is an art form. That is art. Just a quick question for you, Producer Mike. Do you know what song that is? Did you get a chance to listen to it? I'd be very impressed if you knew the song. Here, let me play it again for you.
We have just installed about 75 big mouth Billy Bass fish that will all sing in synchronized harmony, random songs that I have picked out and choreographed.
With a beautiful wife.
Why?
All right, do you know that song?
Yeah, I recognize it. I don't know the name of it.
The Talking Heads is the name of the band. And if you get a chance to see the music video, it's a really cool music video. In the, you know, what can you expect in for the 80s or 70s? It had to have been the 80s when that came out. There's only so much you can expect in the 80s when it comes to music videos. Worth looking up that Talking Heads song.
It's a great question.
How did I get here?
This was a big blank wall, and I wanted something for people to enjoy on their way up to our roof deck.
Why don't we have that installed here at KMOX? How come I don't have a full wall of big mouth Billy Basses that would talk in synchronize with this radio program? That's what we really need.
For co-owner Ashley Albert, coming up with the idea and finding the fish was one thing, but choreographing about 70 of these Billy Bass to sing in unison, yeah, that was another challenge.
We kind of started by kind of dissecting these fish.
Adam Lassie is a partner in a design group called Studio Quasi out of New York City. He was brought into Chicago to make all this happen.
Figuring out how, at what point we wanted to override the system to make them all talk together. So we created custom hardware and
software. I love
this
idea. They get all the hardware and software and they get this full wall. So here's the songs they decided to get the fish to sing together. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, Choices by E-40, and Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads. Wow, what a great selection. Whoever came up with that and whoever decided it was worth the time and effort to put something like that together, it is well worth it. And I got to say, I love the idea. I wish I knew how to do it myself. I've done some research because you can hack them. See, I have one of the original ones, and as it turns out, you can buy one of the new ones, and then you can coordinate it with your Alexa device so it'll talk to you. The Alexa device will sync up or whatever and talk as the Big Mouth Billy Bass, which is one of the great novelty items of all time. This is Overnight America, and with this last hour, we keep things open. You can talk about anything you want. I just did 10 minutes on Big Mouth Billy Bass in Chicago, all right? 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line. Or 800-925-1120. You can call from anywhere in the United States. We've already had calls from one from New York. We had one from Minnesota. You can call from anywhere you want. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Last half hour of the show. Woo. All right, what do I got here? I haven't watched South Park in a long, long, long time. And I mean, they've gotten progressively edgier, I guess, a little. But in the same time, they have this way of bringing up certain topics that are just so unique to that show. And they do it in such a silly and goofy and stupid way. And it's meant to be silly and stupid and goofy. But at the same time, they try to make a point. And, you know, they do a lot of this Donald Trump stuff and, you know, this and that or whatever it is. And they got their own little, like, you know, political stuff that they add in there. From what I remember, I think they even claim to be Republicans, which is kind of funny. But what they do is they purposely try to be offensive. They purposely try to do that in order to make a point. And I saw this posted on The Blaze this week. South Park episode brutally mocks transgender athletes competing in women's sports. So I said, oh, okay, I wonder how they decided to handle that topic. So the creators of South Park this week, I guess they air on Wednesday nights. It's the 7th episode of their 23rd season. Whoa! The titled Bored Girls features a transgender character that closely resembles the wrestling icon Macho Man Randy Savage. Okay, so I watched the clip,
And essentially what happens is there's some competitions in South Park, and the women are trying to be politically correct. The athletes, oh, we welcome this in, and this is going to be a great thing for our sport, and shows we're all inclusive. And then they show who they're going to be competing against in all these events. And it's Macho Man Randy Savage, which was the big-time professional wrestler from the 90s. And, I mean, this dude was just bulked up. And here's part of the episode I found online where he was doing an interview with one of the women talk show hosts.
And now back to Women in Sports with Janet Spears.
Our next guest has been really lighting it up in women's competitions. Since she's identified as female 2 weeks ago, she's won every female sport she's entered. Please welcome Heather Swanson.
Well, thank you, Janet. It's a great pleasure to be here. I know that I'm an inspiration to all women and trans athletes everywhere.
Yes, we are all truly inspired.
Yes, we are all truly inspired.
Heather, your story is an inspiration to sports fans everywhere. Congratulations on your shocking success.
I just hope I can motivate little girls out there. Motivate them to understand that I will beat them at any sport they try.
So they show footage of the guy. You know, he's like in his spandex like a wrestler would, and he's wearing like the whole outfit. This guy was, you know, he wore like this, what looked like a rhinestone cowboy hat, and he had these special like California glasses, and he had like even like tassels and stuff on the bottom of his arm, and he was just always over the top, and that's kind of what 90s wrestling was all about. They show a video of him, and he is just wiping the floor in all these different sports. And the women are like, okay, we have to be inclusive, so we're not allowed to complain. That Macho Man Randy Savage is now in the same division and trying to compete against us. I haven't watched South Park in forever, but I may be tempted to go watch that episode. That sounds absolutely hilarious. There's a story, too, on KMOX.com. 69 suspected gang members, 16 people wanted in connection with murder are off the streets. There's a three-month operation conducted by federal, state, and local authorities. Altogether, 162 violent criminals were taken off the streets. So there, let's see, who participated in this? It was St. Louis City, in County Police, St. Anne Police, St. Charles County Police, North County Police Cooperative, Lincoln County Sheriff's Department, Missouri Highway Patrol, and Drug Enforcement Administration. This is all awesome, awesome, awesome news. So in addition to the arrest, 40 firearms, 10 pounds of narcotics, and $24,000 cash were seized, three vehicles as well. Officials say those in four cases, arresting officers were shot at, but none were hit. 162 people altogether. That's between June and September. We knew this task force was coming in. You know, I was under the different impression. For some reason, I thought this extra attention in St. Louis was because the highway patrol was in. We saw more people getting pulled over. You know, we saw some of these other things that were just auxiliary, like, okay, we're going to try to get that person that's doing 110 miles an hour zigzagging around traffic like they're playing Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64. There's that one level where they're on the highway. That's how they drive here in St. Louis. Anyone that had a Nintendo 64 with Mario Kart will know exactly what I'm talking about. But I thought that was their way to, you know, try to make things a little bit safer on the roads. We knew that they weren't given a lot of attention considering the lack of police being able to focus on areas other than the highest of high crime areas. So this is a good thing. This is absolutely a great sign. Of all the different, you know, the governor came in, Governor Parson, they talked about this, how are we going to address violent crime in the city of St. Louis? And for a while there, they were talking about other pilot programs. How are we going to do it? You know, let's spend $2 million, $5 million, $7 million to hire reformed convicts to be motivational speakers to the kids on the street. No, if you really want to make an impact, you got to get people on the street to stop these terrible things from happening. You know, you can't take the word of, oh, gee golly, I'll never do it again. I'll put your hand up. No, how about you catch the ones that have committed these violent crimes and you make sure they don't get back on the streets in, I don't know, a couple of hours, because that's the way our prosecutor likes to do things. No, we're not going to take on this case. Go back on the street. Go ahead, do your thing. Go ahead, do your thing. Just go back out and, you know, you hear these stories of drug dealers confessing and, oh, we're not going to take on this case. Or in one case, Oh, no. It's terrible. The bail system is so terrible. We shouldn't allow this sort of thing. So you have an organization come in. They bail out someone who goes and murders someone immediately. And this is in St. Louis. These things happen. So, okay. I'd rather have, honestly, I much rather would see these task force and these organizations getting these violent people off the street for a long period of time. So if you look at the crime comparison reports, I decided to pull them because I haven't looked at them in a while. And here they are. Let's see. Crime comparison based on all the neighborhoods from 2018 to 2019. We're still up in homicides year to date, 159 in 2018, this time of, and this is not including the month of November. So this is only up until the end of October. These are the most recent stats that were given out by the police. Year to date, 2019, we're at 165. So we're about six off on that one. Total robberies up slightly. Total aggravated assaults up a lot. There's been 285 extra aggravated assaults, and most of those are gun-related. Burglary is up 158 extra cases of burglary, and it seems like a majority of those happen to be at a residence. Let's see, some even by force, 175 of those by force. And vehicle theft also up. 261 extra vehicle thefts there. So it's not good. I mean, we continue to see all of these things and moments happening in the city of St. Louis. And the things that actually help are the things when we actually get people on the ground to stop the people that are committing these crimes. You know, what's not helpful is when we see police, when they are able to intervene, and then you have certain prosecutors that say, we're not going to do anything about it. And then they go back on the street and the cycle and the circle continues. That's got to stop. So all the help we can get, we need it. One more segment left. And good news for you. We're going to be on for another extra couple hours after that in midnight, the replay hours. So if you want to get the last word in, it's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. Michaelsflooringoutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Good news for you, Producer Mike. One of your favorite singers, Frida's birthday is today. 74 years old. Frida performs one of your favorite songs. I have that clip somewhere still where, who was it? Was it Charlie from Minnesota called in and cheated to sing the lyrics of Dancing Queen to show that he knew more lyrics than you? He just took advantage of being over the phone and just sang the words after he heard them. And then there it was. Cheated! Charlie, I know you can hear me tonight. You said it's coming up loud and clear in Minnesota. So there you are. That's right. You're getting called under the rug for that one. So we got a couple of other things going on. You know, I was watching just in the studio. We had the NFL game on one of the TVs in the studio. I think Chris Raby was probably paying attention to it during Sports Open Line. And I just left it on. Fox 2 had it on tonight. Honestly, when did Fox start showing Thursday Night Football? I thought that was like on the NFL Network and you had to get a subscription to it. I didn't realize that was over broadcast television. Maybe they've changed it. I just really don't pay attention to the NFL. But still, so we had Fox 2 on this one and the NFL game was on. And at the end of the game, this is something that everyone's going to be talking about tomorrow. And if you can find a clip of it, I got to go and see if I can find it on Twitter or something. But what happened was there was a little skirmish, I guess, between the quarterback on the Pittsburgh Steelers and number 65, I don't know who it was, on the Browns. But what ended up happening, Myles Garrett, this dude's going to have to get suspended for the rest of the year after what he did. So they get down on the ground and they're kind of like scuffling a little bit. You know, hands are going everywhere. And they get back up and Myles Garrett, the Browns player, grabs the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback's helmet and rips it off his head. And they're still yelling at each other. And then he does like a windmill move where he like winds up, puts the helmet like behind him like he's winding up, and then overhead clocks the quarterback in the head with his own helmet. Now, the quarterback for the Steelers was okay. He was fine afterwards. I think he stayed in the game. He kept playing. But it was a clear direct hit, intentional. He used the guy's helmet and knocked him over the head with it. I don't know how they're going to allow that guy to play for the rest of the year. But then again, Cleveland Browns, I saw Kareem Hunt is still playing for them or whatever. After all those allegations against him, Drew. Oh, boy. When did the Browns turn into the Bengals? When I was living in Ohio, it seemed like the Bengals hired everyone with a criminal record. Everyone. But now I guess that's the Browns in Ohio, or is it still both teams? Oh, it's just the league, as producer Mike filled me in on. Oh, here's something in Ohio. We only got a couple more minutes here. And this is a couple of different places reporting this. And, you know, the intellectuals that write and report on this, all the intellectuals. Let me just read the first line to you. Anti-intellectual, anti-science, anti-education. A disturbing development in Ohio passes legislation that will allow students, and this is how they spin it, to give wrong answers and not be penalized if the wrong answers are based on the student's sincerely held religious belief. So, of course, they phrase it that way. You know, anti-intellectual, anti-science. Let me read the Ohio bill for you, and I think this is actually pretty awesome. And let me just note, this passed by a vote of 61-3. It wasn't even close. It was nearly unanimous. So here's what it requires. It requires public schools to give students the same access to facilities if they want to meet for religious expression that they'd give secular groups. Okay. If you're willing to give it to the Glee Club and a group wants to get together for a Bible study, you have to allow them to get a room too. If you're going to give it to the secular group, let them use it also for their religious on school grounds. Number two, removes a provision that allows school districts to limit religious expression to lunch periods or other non-instructional times. So part of this too is, oh boy, you're not allowed to, oh, wait a minute. You're in the hallway in between classes and you said something from the Bible. Oh my, get to the principal's office. None of that stuff anymore. Allow students to engage in religious expression before, during, and after school hours to the same extent as a student in secular activities or expression. Okay, this is good. And prohibit schools from restricting a student from engaging in religious expression or completion of homework, artwork, and other assignments. These are all awesome things. And it's pretty telling of the people that are out there trying to build this as anti-science, anti-education, anti-intellectual. Growing up, I went to a Catholic school, so this really was a non-factor for me. But I can say that talking to some parents that have sent their kids to public schools, wherever it is, there's always that background threat that their belief in God or their expression of their faith may, you know, they're not up there, you know, preaching in school by any means, but just the mere fact that if they were to say something, they can get in trouble for saying it inside of the school because another person may get offended for, you know, someone sitting down and, you know, perhaps reading passages from the Bible is absurd. I've also talked to people, Pastor Rick here in town, I talked to him about this, and he was talking about when his daughter was going through school, went to public school, and there would be certain assignments that they would object to. You know, the preacher's daughter would go through and bring this home and say, Dad, I need to talk to you about this. They would bring up certain ideas that he would object to. They would bring up certain things that, as a parent, you would say, no, you know, this is actually against our religious beliefs. So we really don't like to indulge in this. And under the threat of, well, if you don't, we're just going to fail you. And the fact that Ohio is going to bring in some protection for that is pretty awesome. I think that's actually a really good step. In fact, and there's a lot of different people that purposely bring up topics, school teachers that try to be activists, and they purposely try to go out there and force you to do things that are against your religion, and they try to use their power in the office as a way to force you to do these things for whatever, you know, motivation that they may have. And, you know, it does concern you when you see some of these things. But good for Ohio to say if you have a deeply held religious objection and you don't want to participate in, you know, something that you object to and it's founded in, you know, your faith, then you have that objection, you're allowed to do that. You don't have to go to the school board, and then you have to fight it in court. And then you got to, you know, take it to the press, and then you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to get national attention before the schools are shamed into doing it. No. I mean, and honestly, this bill, you know what that's most likely going to be used for? They're going to be able to read their Bibles like it's an extracurricular activity, just like any other club that would be able to meet at the school. They would also be able to meet and do a Bible study. You know, if you're going to open up a room for one group that's allowed to do that in the school, you should be allowed to allow them to do that too. And that's essentially what it boils down to. So good for Ohio. Praise them for that. All right, that does it for us here on Overnight America. Wow, that show went by so quick. We'll be back again Sunday at 11 o'clock. We have the replay 2 hours coming up, too. I'm on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. If you want to reach me on there, it's a great way to communicate. Or KMOX.com/ONA. You can listen back to any of our shows. If you have a podcasting app, please go subscribe to it. Tell your friends about this show, too. Looking forward to having a couple of days off, but I'm also looking forward to coming back to you on Sunday night. Stay warm. We'll see ya.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying.
Swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.